Okay, good morning, everyone. We are going to start worship.
Namaste, Neely.
Ray, I'm great.
We're going to start today just getting our minds and our hearts right and just really focusing on what the Lord has to speak to us today. Whether it be a beautiful, gentle word or even a word of rebuke or a word of turning away or just anything, Father, I pray right now, Lord, that you help our pride get out of the way, Father, and I pray, Lord God, that our hearts are so right to learn, Father, from you, Lord God, from our wonderful, perfect Father that wants the best for us. Heartaches as we were growing up, Father, I pray for healing right now, Lord. There's this sounds wrong in a way, but even from my own experience, Father, there's only a certain point where we can keep blame on other things, Lord God. But when we come to that realization that we have a Father that loves us and that can heal us and show us the right way, it's our choice right then and right then and there, Lord God, that's who. We choose to move forward, and we choose to allow you to heal us, Lord. I pray pray for the strength for those right now, Lord God, that need healing. And sometimes we're scared of that, Lord. We're scared to move on, Father. But right now, Lord, just be with them. Comfort them, Lord. Speak to their hearts. Children. I worry about when my husband drives to work. Father, I have so many fears, Lord. Help me to overcome that. Help us to overcome these things that the world draws us into, Lord. Draw us close to you, Lord.
Jesus, draw me his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. There will be no end to the increase of his government or of our peace. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The seal of the Lord hosts will accomplish this.
Oh,
light just shines so bright for us, Lord God. Help us not to be consumed with worries, Lord. Help us not to be consumed with hate, Lord, or confusion, or anything, Lord, that's going to set us apart from you, Father. I pray for just spiritual wisdom, Lord God. And, Lord, help us to be humble. Any of us that think that we have it right, Lord God, just humble us any way that you need to, Lord God. I kind of don't want to say that, Lord, but I ask you, Lord, just humble me. Humble our hearts, Lord God. Break our hearts, Lord God. Us and as we're keeping our eyes on Him, it's important to always ask the Lord just to keep making our heart new. Once we give our heart to the Lord, it doesn't stop there. We have to constantly be made new in Him daily, and I know that from experience. Sometimes the old Amy likes to creep back in. She was not a nice person. You guys wouldn't have liked her. But praise the Lord, He's created me and He's made me new. And I'm so thankful because now I can at least be liked a little bit. I do pray, Lord God, that as we're sitting here today and as we're learning, Lord God, I pray that you just feed us, Father. We need your Holy Spirit with us, Lord God. I do pray for that new heart, Lord. Father, also this morning I want to lift up some people to you, Father. I want to lift up Amanda, Lord, and I just pray that a speedy recovery and quick healing after her gallbladder surgery, Father. And I also want to lift up Laura to you, Lord God, and her family. Just keep giving them strength, Lord God. Keep renewing them every day. And I pray for Dave right now, Father, who just had knee surgery. Lord, I pray that you just protect him and as he recovers as well, Lord. And I just lift up Ashley to you, Father, and just be with her, Lord God, in these days. Father, as her mother just recently went to be with you, Lord God, but we do praise you and thank you for that, Father. And I do thank you for the praise report for Joel and his granddaughter, Lord God, just doing so well and being so healthy after being born premature, Father. We thank you for these things. And we just give this day to you, Father. And if there's anything else that's being put on anyone's heart right now, Lord, to pray about, Father, we just we pray that they do that right now, Lord God, whether it's out loud or just quietly, Father.
Just heal Dave's back, Lord, I pray. Just as he's recovering from back surgery, Lord, that you would just heal him, that you would speed up the pain, that you would use the time, Lord, just to draw him closer to yourself, Lord, however you do that. To those who are emotionally hurt, they just feel like they have nothing left, Lord, I pray that you would just restore them, renew them. You are the God of hope, Lord. You are a restoration God. And I pray that you would restore them supernaturally by the power of your Holy Spirit.
And practically speaking, if you guys, I know sometimes we get crowded back there, if you guys happen to see any empty spots up here, you guys can feel free to move to the front so we can see your pretty face. Nice. And handsome.
Okay, so
we're going to
start with Casting Crowns is coming in March with Danny Gokey. I know a lot of people like that. Anyway, tickets are about $23, and that's at the USF Sundome. You can get more information at the Joy FM. Just want to make you guys aware of that. And also, if anyone, if you are feeling like a little tug in your heart, you'd like to minister, you'd like to teach, or you'd like to encourage, or you'd like to bless, or you'd like to be around the kids in the children's ministry once a month, we'd love to. Also, we have a little equipping the saints for ministry here, and so we have a lot of extra stuff. You guys already know about all this stuff. Sermons online. Somebody just, I just gave this information, and they were like, oh, you have audio teachings online? Yes, yes, we do. And so it's at homefellowshipchurch.com. And also Loner Library back in the back left, where you can get CDs and books and things like that all alone out for free. In Jesus' name, for a couple weeks, then just return them, and then you just welcome on something else. We have prayer meetings here at 9 a.m. If you'd like to join us, we would love to have you come out. That prayer is what fuels the fire, and so, man, we just pray for more of those people, that God would just bring more people out to just pray each morning here Sunday, that God would do a work here. We have men's Bible study and dinner in 2 Samuel. And that is on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Is that right?
Yeah, this is the fifth Tuesday. So
we actually have a fifth Tuesday?
Yeah, so we get to all study our Bible at home.
Hey, okay, good. Oh, this is this dinner. What will I eat here?
You're on your own.
All right. Okay, so we don't have that. Okay, but Thursday night, we do have barbecue. Why? Right? Do we? Or is this also the fifth?
No, we have food.
Okay, Thursday night. Okay, just making sure, barbecue and Bible study. All right.
And you're teaching.
So I'm teaching. Well, that's good to know. I probably actually need that, so that's good. And actually, Gary, that reminds me.
Yes.
I don't usually mention this, but I am going to mention it this week because I want next Sunday, you're going to teach. And there's a reason why I want to share that, too, because you're teaching on a topic that I really love... talk about, and that's about hearing the voice of God. And some folks struggle with how to hear God's voice, how to learn to hear God's voice. God is speaking to us continually. And so you're going to be teaching on that next Sunday. And so I just want to make sure that you guys are all aware of that, and I'm looking forward to hearing that teaching. Okay. Also, you guys know us on this. If you guys are interested in the Superhero 5K run, do you hold my calls? Also, we've got Bibles for Living Hands. If you guys are interested, this is probably either this week or next week. It's the last week. So if you would like to donate some Bibles, it's a recovery ministry that go into the prisons. And so if you would like to donate Bibles, it's $11 each. Just put a check or put in the memo for Bibles, however many you want to get, and we'll make sure that those Bibles get right out to them. And we're supplying a bunch of Bibles to that ministry. So this is probably your last Sunday, either this one or the next one. Okay, let's open our Bibles to the book of Romans, chapter 12. Elijah and Chris, would you mind grabbing a few Bibles? And if you need one, raise your paw, and one of us will... bring one right to you. And if you need a pen, too, we'll even serve you there as well. Okay, as I'm turning there, we're in Romans chapter 12. Oh! If somebody wouldn't mind reading nice and loud, Romans chapter 12. 1, 2. I need a mic runner.
You want me to read it?
Anybody? Mic runner? Anybody volunteer for mic runner? Thanks. I don't know if it's on. You might want to test it. Not very electronic savvy. Okay, so would somebody mind reading Romans chapter 12, 1 to 2? And then Carl, okay, Carl will bring you the mic as I'm turning there. And I'm getting my stuff ready.
Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will.
Thanks. I'm almost ready with my co-workers here. Boy, we went through a lot. So we went through two verses. We went through all this.
Wow.
Isn't God's word rich?
Man. I know we're, oh, that's right. I remember the Gary illustration. Okay, so here's where I think we left off. Okay, God doesn't want us to conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Then we'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Listen, you guys, you know, the main thing here, when we're studying the Word, when God wants us to be transformed in our mind, the main thing isn't to get information. God wants transformation. So if you're reading this book to get more facts and figures in your head, you're missing the whole thing. You're missing out on all God has for you. He wants to transform your life. He wants to create metamorphosis in your being. He wants to make something beautiful from the inside out. Oh, that funny shallow. Yes, and it can happen like that. But God wants to do that supernatural work from the inside out. That's a transformation, and that's what God's word does to you. It's living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It divides soul, spirit, bones, and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of your heart. And I think, oh yeah, we left off with, you know, you determine what you're going to be to people around you. You know, are you a thermostat where when you come in a room as a professing Christian, where you adjust to the temperature of the room, or the temperature of your work, or the temperature at your school, or the temperature of your friends? Well, I'm going to conform. Or I'm going to conform to whatever they're doing, whatever they're saying, however they're thinking. Or do you? Are you more like a thermostat, where you control the temperature of the room when you come in, because you're not being conformed to the pattern of this world? You're being transformed from the inside out by the renewing of your mind. That's what God wants for you. He wants you to be salt and light. Salt does what? If you eat a lot of salt, what does it make you?
Thirsty.
Yeah, salt is a preservative, and salt makes you thirsty. God wants you, a born-again Christian, to be salt and light. When people see you, they don't say, oh, what a, he's just like us. They want, man, I want to be thirsty for what I see in you. Do I see something different? I want to see, I want you to be a light in a dark place. That's what he's wanting from us as we are being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Yes, Evan.
If preserves, you're good.
Now, I still want the mic.
Preserves and yeah. Cures.
That's good.
Salt.
It does.
It does. It keeps. Yep. Allows it to, be eaten later. Well, anyway.
It also adds flavor.
That too.
Yeah, it does. Good. And that's what he wants us to be. All right? As we go with these next verses here, we're going to be talking about Romans 12, 3 to 8. And we're going to read these verses, maybe either alone or together. But once we start thinking right, the world, right, is pushing us in one direction. That's what it wants. There's an agenda here. We know the enemy is kind of in charge of the direction, the pattern of how the world goes. And there's a direction. They want you to think a certain way, and they want you to move a certain direction. That's what the enemy's hope is. And so that's what the enemy wants. But now as we're renewing our mind, when those thoughts come in my head from my past, or like Amy says, sometimes the old Amy raises up. You know, sometimes it happens in our life, right? That old thinking comes in, we hear that old song, we hear the news, no, that's not what I want for my life. This is what I want. And I go back to God's word and say, what does it say about it? And so Romans 12, 3 to 8 is now that we're doing that, we want to be thinking rightly about, and we're going to talk about three things. We want to be thinking rightly about, verse 3 is going to talk about ourselves. We're going to be rightly, we want to be rightly thinking about ourselves. We'll read that in just a minute. And verse 4 and 5, we want to be rightly thinking about our fellow believers in Christ. And then verses 6 to 8 is going to talk about
the gifts of the Holy Spirit and what gifts he's given us. And we want to be right thinking about that. And so let's take a minute, and Chris, if you'd hit that light, and let's take a minute and let's read. I'm going to have you guys do something a little different. I know this isn't normal, but I'm going to have you read those verses to yourself, okay? Verses, Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. But I just want you to remember, before you read it, just ask, Lord, will you teach me something today? Will you speak something to me today through these verses? Every time you read the word, will you just do that and take a minute and read that to yourself? Romans chapter 12, verses 3 to 8. Would somebody read for me out loud verse 3 of Romans chapter 12? And we'll start there. Okay, please.
For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith.
Now, you know, this world is all about self, right? This world wants you to think about yourself. That is the enemy's way. In the Satan's Bible, the Satanic Bible, it says, "Do what thou wilt is the whole of the law." The whole of the law. In other words, it's all about you instead of all about him. And so, you know, you see this in culture. It's kind of crazy. I don't know if you even pay attention to it. And I'm not saying these things are bad. So don't. You said this was bad. But if you notice, how many people are on Facebook? Okay? I wish I would have put the numbers up there, but every 60 seconds, I can't even tell you, tens of thousands of posts, hundreds of thousands of Twitter things, where you can follow somebody and know everything that they're doing all the time. Because who doesn't want to know about you? You've got MySpace, you've got Facebook, you've got Twitter, you've got so many things that are going on. You've got Self Magazine. And you know what? I had to work hard to find a cover that was appropriate. And I still had to block something out. But they've got magazines all about self because it's all about you. This is the cover you guys probably saw before. Time Magazine. The me generation. It's all about me. Right? That's all about self. I just want to think about myself. You know what? It's almost like, have you ever, selfies, okay? Now, I've been known to do those too, okay? But there is a selfie craze going on. Millions every single day. Everybody's taking selfies. Click, 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 click. Of themselves. I mean, listen, Snapchat, oh yeah. I mean, Instagram, there are so many. And everybody is thinking about themselves. And I don't think we even realize how narcissistic that is. Do you know what narcissistic means? Like, what'd you say?
Love of self. I said Trump. Narcissistic.
Hey, I'm thankful for what he's doing. That's all I'm going to say. So, but anyway, but, you know, narcissistic, guys, think it's basically, the story is of a guy, it's basically thinking of yourself, being in love with yourself and enamored with yourself. What we can do in a second, okay? And the story of Narcissus is Greek mythology. He, basically, he was a guy, and he was a hunter, and he was a good-looking guy. And so Nemesis tried to trap him. And so what he did was he had Nemesis look at this clear pool of water. And when he saw the reflection, his own reflection, he was so enamored by his beauty. He fell in love with his beauty. And so what happened was, since he was so in love with himself, he couldn't look away and eventually starved to death and died. Okay, that is narcissists. And that's being narcissistic. And we live in a culture that this is like almost like normal. Like, you know, Kim Kardashian makes narcissists look other-centered. You know what I mean? It's, I'm just saying, this is to me, and what God is saying here, listen, I don't want you to think highly about yourself. In the scripture, you know, as we're going through Romans 12 here, there's a word in here. It says, by the grace, the charis, the gift given to me freely, I say to every one of you, it says, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. And that word highly, in the Greek, it's called hyper phroneo. And that means, it's two words, it means to like, you know, hyper think, super think, overthink about yourself. So don't be thinking so much about yourself. You know what I mean? And don't be thinking highly of yourself. Don't let your thoughts run away where it's all about you. Because what does that do? That builds up pride. And honestly, if I can be blunt honest, he's telling us how to think, right? Renew our minds. People don't have the right thinking about ourselves. We don't. It's still a lot in the Christian church. We have to stop it. It's all about us. Well, I want to serve, but I only want to do what I want to do. I want to do this, but I only want to do it my way. Well, I just want to come and be fed. I don't want to do other things for others. Wouldn't that be crazy? Now, we have an amazing church with tons of servants that some of you guys don't even know how much serving goes on here. It's amazing. But I think the Lord may be stirring some of us to more. And how to think, maybe be a little bit more humble in what we do, because what we can also, about our fellow believers, we can get kind of prideful about ourselves, we can get prideful about other believers, can't we? Oh, they're not doing it like this. They don't do it the way I do it. Or we can be prideful about our gifts. It's so easy to do, isn't it? Imagine, you see this in logic, okay, let's just say God has given me the gift of teaching. Some of you would probably argue with that. Well, let's say they have. And I was just, so I'm up here, I'd be very easy if I was being prideful. Well, they should all teach just like me. Why aren't they teaching all these sinners, these little peasant Christians? They should be teaching like me. No. God's put different people in the body, given us many gifts, variations of gifts, because we're all different. You know, somebody on Christmas Eve said, I like the message that Josh gave, but, you know, it wasn't you. And I thought, well, I'm glad you liked the message, and I'm glad he wasn't me. I like it when Josh, I don't like to hear me all the time. I like it when somebody comes up. I like when Gary will come up Sunday and teach. I want to hear what God is going to speak through him. I enjoy that type of thing. He's given us different gifts. We got to be careful not to think more highly of ourselves than we ought. You know, this is how Merriam-Webster defines humility. It's the quality or state of not thinking you're better than other people. And I love this C.S. Lewis quote, guys. Humility, it's actually, he says, true humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Does that make sense? Yes. And I'm sorry, Elijah, I see your hand raised, but I want to also, Hezekiah, you raised your hand earlier. I just remembered. What did you want to say? Do you remember?
Just
They're listening well to you because you've renewed your mind with the Word of God. But hey, that sounds good to a lot of people. Do what thou wilt is the whole law. Hey, that sounds great. That's just what my flesh wants. Elijah. Okay. All right. Miriam.
I have a question, and yes. That is, it says, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Does that mean that he's given you more faith than he has me?
Okay, that's good. Some translate the standard of faith. Okay? So if you look at the standard of faith, Jesus is our standard.
Yeah.
Okay? And so if you look at him as our standard, you won't be thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. Because he's done everything. He was the servant of all. Mm-hmm. So you will, if you remember him, he's our standard, then you think, when you think, well, I'm not going to forgive that person for what she said at church. Well, you'd be thinking, well, wait a minute, though. God totally forgave me of stuff I can't even mention. I guess I can forgive them. Or if you think, well, why should I have to serve? I'm doing all the serving around here. Wait a minute. Jesus said that, you know, whoever was going to be great among you would be the servant of all. Oh, yeah, right, Lord. And he said to go and do likewise. I'm going to serve.
I think sometimes we're put in situations where our faith, we're given more faith. For instance, missionaries who serve in places where they are their faith is tested more and it grows more because they have to be dependent on God. Where we in this country often don't have to exercise faith. We are culturally prone to go to the bank, go get a loan, go to the doctor first. You know, there are others around the world who coming here have more faith, have been given more faith because of their situation or their lifestyle. But I think God's trying to say to them, you might have more faith, so you are more responsible. Mm-hmm. You know, the more understanding you have, the more responsible you are. Are you living up to that? You know, you were given a gift. Are you living up to that?
That's right.
You know, everyone, I have a granddaughter with cerebral palsy. I don't expect her to achieve the same as maybe another grandchild or myself. But God expects her to live up to what she's capable. You know? And we have to look at what the gifts God's given us and what we are, who we are and what we have, and ask ourselves, am I doing all that I'm capable of?
Yeah, and the point of it too is, pass that mic back there. The point of it, too, is it all a gift? That word gift, the charis, is a free gift. It's without merit. In other words, you didn't do anything to earn it. So whatever gifts God has given you, which we'll talk about in a minute, you know, you are to do it to the measure of faith he's given you. Some, he's going to, maybe you're to speak to hundreds of people. Maybe you're to speak to one person. Maybe, I know folks that they can get up in a crowd of thousands of people and do amazing. And I know others who don't work good in that environment, but you put them one-on-one and man, they shine. And vice versa. And so whatever God has given you, whatever gifts that God's given you, use it. Yes, Tom, did
you? Yeah, yes, it kind of equates to the fact that God gave talents. He gave some 10, 5, 1, and our responsibility is to invest in what
right. Now, how
if we don't, it's going to be what? Taken away.
Yeah.
So as much is given, much is required.
How silly would it be if to the 5-talented guy who got, you know, or the 10-talented guy say, oh, I got 10 talent. Not like that loser that got 5. No. All the more, man, you just use what God has given you. And God has given you each gift. So we need to be thinking rightly about ourselves and not looking down upon others. You know, I've watched this in the Christian community. You can use almost anything. Put everything in here. Okay, why aren't they serving like I serve? Right? Have you ever heard? I'm serving. I'm being such a servant, but all these people aren't. Or I'm giving so much, and yet these other people are not giving near as much as I am. You see how easy it is to become high and lofty in your head and to think higher of yourself than you ought to? Yes.
And when we do that, we're cutting ourselves short in our ability to serve. You know, we're wasting our energy doing that instead of focusing on, you know, what God has called us to do.
Absolutely.
He also gives each and every one of us different desires. Like,
yes.
One person may have a specific desire to serve in this way. Anyway,
yes.
that's how the gifts are. They're desires that God gives you in your heart. And He gives you the ability.
Yes.
If He gives you the desire, He'll give you the ability to fulfill it.
Absolutely. And so don't be looking at others and you know, and comparing yourself or putting yourself on a higher pedestal. You know,
did you want to say
something? Or, yeah, you know what? And somebody said, or a lower pedestal. Here's what it takes. Think of yourself more often. It almost means like super think to overthink about yourself. So here, think of it this way. It takes two forms, okay? When you overthink about yourself, here's the two forms it takes. One is that pride that we're talking about, where I'm better than everybody else. It would be like, imagine if at the women's Bible study, okay, imagine if one of the women was like, well, Lisa, I would teach so much better. Or somebody, Carl, was like, Gary, if I had the men's group, we'd be doing a lot more, you know, we'd be doing this, we'd be doing that. That would be terrible. You know, so that prideful thinking, instead of just remembering, hey, we're servants of Christ. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. What can I do for others? The other way we can overthink about ourselves is I'm a stinky Christian. Do you know what I'm saying? This is also pride. I can't do it. You know, listen, I hear I can't do it all the time in my head. But I don't believe my thoughts. I believe God who says, I can do all things through Christ who give me strength. So I listen to the Lord. But that's self-centered thinking. Well, I'm just a worm. I'm a terrible Christian. I'm just one of those terrible Christians at work. I'm just a terrible Christian at school. Oh, I'm just, you know, who am I? You know, who am I? Let me share something. You know, I'm nobody here, you know, compared to you. But I'm going to tell you all this stuff. You know, it's we just got to be careful. That is also self-centered thinking. Gary.
Something I learned from Gail Irwin years ago. He said, if you want to have a terrible day, start thinking about yourself and spend the day just thinking about yourself, whether it be high or low.
Yes.
You know, you're going to be miserable.
Either way.
And it's the exact opposite. And Jesus came, he was other-centered. So when we're being self-centered, we're being the exact opposite of Jesus.
That's right. Either way, that's right. Anybody? Let's go ahead. Some other hands are raised, and I'm going to hit AC because I don't know about you guys. I just Lieutenant Julie.
It's on me.
Yes.
I was going to say that I had heard before to be really careful about comparing yourself to others because Satan loves that. Because no matter who else is around you, they're either in your mind better than you or worse than you. And so I see that a lot, like, for instance, like in worship, you know, someone sings a song or something or plays guitar really well, and then everybody else is like, oh, I wish I could play guitar. They're not even giving me those gifts. Or if someone has a lot of faith, they're like, oh, I don't want to faith like that, and in a downer kind of way, not in a, like, I want to be like that kind of way. So I heard before, instead of comparing yourself to others, where you're always going to get a wrong outcome, just compare yourself to Christ. Because others are not our standard. We're not looking to be better.
Right.
You know, we're not trying to get in the top 10% of people. We're trying to be like Christ.
It is so depressing when Christians do that, and we're all looking down, and you're quick to criticize. Are you quick to criticize like a ministry or a person? Or then you need to start looking in your own heart and asking God. And if you're focusing on, I'm just a terrible Christian, well, you know what? You don't have to be. You have the Holy Spirit. If you're born again, living inside of you, You've got God's word to transform your mind. You don't have to be that. You're just spending all this time thinking about what a terrible person. You're still thinking of yourself. That's not true humility. That's pride, just in a different form.
Life is a journey, and each one of us is in a different spot. And God equips us on the journey as we need equipment. He doesn't give us more than we need. He doesn't give us less than we need. And whatever we need at that point is what we get. And as we get farther along and we need more, He supplies more. But this is a journey that we're all on together, and we should encourage each other in that journey so that everybody can find joy in that journey and allow God to do what God does, and we do what we do. Let's just allow Him to be Him.
And don't, whatever gift you have, let's just say it's serving. It would be, well, I cleaned everything, and now people are going to dirty it.
Don't clean it.
Then don't clean it. You know what I'm saying? Well, I did this, and now, well, don't do it. If you're going to grumble and complain every time, that's not a tearful heart. God doesn't want that. He wants you to serve with humility. You serve the living God. That's who you serve. You know, the Bible says this, guys, in Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 to 4. He says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. But he says, in humility, value others above yourself. Do we do that? Do you really, value others above yourself, not looking for your own interest, but each of you to the interests of others? And that's a question. Is that really you? This is not an attack, but is that you? Is that me? Am I really valuing other people? When I come in here, am I thinking, I need to get fed. I hope that worship's good. I hope the sermon is good. I hope that somebody have good food out there. Or am I thinking, man, I hope there's somebody that I can bless. I hope there's someone that I can encourage in the Lord. I'm hoping there's somebody I can exhort, give a good swift kick in the pan, whatever I can pray for. Maybe there's somebody that I can help in some way, make a meal for, or give a gift to, or, man, how can I serve them? How can I bless them? Because they have so much value. How can I draw them nearer to Jesus Christ? That's the goal of your life. Does that make sense, guys?
Yes.
Yes.
No, wait, I'm not. All right. Yes, go ahead.
Just really quickly say one thing.
You may really quickly say one thing.
I'll speak loudly.
Okay, good.
So I just want to point out something I learned a few years ago that has transformed my thinking completely,
okay.
Which is everything Jesus asked us to do is completely impossible in our flesh.
Sure.
Forgiving our enemies, impossible.
Yes.
Loving people who hurt us, impossible in our flesh. But remember when He gave us these commands, that these are commands that He's saying, you're going to come to me for the ability to do these things,
yeah.
Basically. So that's what makes it. So you can't just read the Bible and do what it says and be a Christian. It's Jesus enabling us. I mean, we try our best, but remember when you, because I'm terrible. I'm always comparing myself to others, and He's always saying, Natalie, you're trying to strive in your own flesh. You're trying in your own ability, and I fail. It's very discouraging.
Yeah.
So He's always saying, come to me. Learn from me. Look at me. Follow me. Turn your eyes off of yourself, and I will show you. So remember, everything He asks us to do, without Him, we can't do it.
Yes.
That's why we need the Spirit living inside of us.
Yes.
That's what makes the difference.
Amen. And if you're doing it in your own strength, again, that's pride, and thinking how great you are, or the others. You know, there's a lot of ministry that's not going on because you have it in your mind that you can't do it. Well, I can't work in the church. That's too stressful. Well, I can't teach at the school. There's no way. Well, I can't. You know what? Maybe you can. But God says, you know what? I want you to do it anyway. When you step out in faith, right, your faith will grow. Isn't that true, Sue? Your faith will grow and you will become stronger. And then you say, wow, God is really good. When you give and you're like, man, I got nothing to give. And you give, whether it's your service, your time, your finances, and then God provides, you think more about God. Your faith is grown, right? And so your trust, so either way, we just don't want to have that pride in our hearts.
I have a good example of that one. When I first started teaching at the jail,
yeah.
I wasn't planning on teaching at the jail. I just kind of got thrown in there. And so I started using little Bible study help books for about a year. And one day after Bible study, I was standing at the elevator, and God very clearly said to me, "So, when are we going to do this together?" And I was like, "What?" You know? And he said it again. You know, he repeated it. "So, when are we going to do this together?" And I'm like, "Okay, well, you know, I'm ready. You know, I'm okay." And from then on, I went in and just opened the scripture. This was how God did it with me.
Yeah.
And started teaching, relying totally on him to help me teach the Bible study. And I started seeing girls break down weeping. You know, I would teach three Bible studies in a row on the same chapter and three different Bible studies because God was leading me in different ways each time. And I was more amazed afterwards than they were.
And your faith grew.
Oh, absolutely, because I was experiencing the Holy Spirit through me. And I had never intended to be a Bible study teacher. You know, I hated school. And the last thing I wanted to do was be a teacher.
Yeah. Well, and to be honest with you, too, you guys have done hiding too much. And to be honest with you, I'm sharing. Now, sometimes we're very honest here at this church. I was like, last night, I'm like, "Lord, hey." Oh, sorry, I just know somebody I haven't seen in a long time. You know, I was like, "Honey, let me tell you, I'm so exhausted. I'm so tired." Last night, I said, "Honey, I would pay $500 for someone to come in and teach tomorrow." Now, let me tell you, after last week's teaching, I got so many texts, emails, people talking, meeting with me. "That teaching was so amazing." Yeah, you know what? But it's the Lord. And I have to rely on the Lord. Now, I study, like the Bible says, to show thyself approved as a worker who does not mean to be ashamed because I want to teach it right. But I have to rely on the Holy Spirit, man. Without him, I'm nothing. I can't do this. And then, of course, the Lord did the same thing. He's like, reminded me, "You're just, why are you so little faith? You know I'm going to show up again. You know it's going to, I do it every Sunday." Right, Lord? Right. Right. Don't listen to myself. Can't. Yes. Right.
Talk about thinking of yourself poorly.
You're okay.
Am I on?
Yeah, you're good.
Okay. I look at that as poor self-image. Mm-hmm. And for years, I struggled with that. And then one day I'm sitting there with my pride, thinking of myself very poorly, and the Lord just showed me that I was telling him that he made me wrong.
Yes.
That he made all these mistakes.
Yes.
And he made me.
Yes.
And it's like, I just burst into tears. It's like, "Lord, no, you didn't make any mistakes."
Yes. We're saying more about God. That's a good word. We're saying more about God. Absolutely.
I was criticizing God.
Yes.
For
how
he made me.
Yes.
I think of it that way.
Yes.
That'll shake you.
Yeah, that's a good word. Good word. Thanks for sharing. The next verses we've got. Actually, one more time, Chris. Next verses we have 4 and 5. Could somebody read that? So, right thinking about ourselves and right thinking about others in the body. Somebody mind reading that? Anybody want to read? We'll have to bring the mic to you. All right. Thanks. Master.
Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others.
What does that mean to you? What does that say? What does that say to you?
My life is not my own. We all have to do our part.
Good.
Body can't depend on each other.
Depend on each other? Good.
And a body can't have a body with a bunch of legs.
You can't really function without all of them.
Yeah.
And every piece is important.
Absolutely. Now, okay, so somebody's saying it. Now, imagine. Okay, so, you know, to be honest, I don't even know where my liver is. I think I have one. Somewhere in my body. I don't know where it's at. Now, what would happen if I didn't have a liver?
You'd die.
Okay, that's interesting. Now imagine, now how silly would it? Let's just say the heart, okay? I'm the heart. I keep the blood flowing. Without me, I am so important. Well, you know, let's bring you outside in a Florida, Bradenton, July weather, and let's just remove, you know, the chest cavity and the rest of the body, and let's just put you on the pavement, Mr. Hart, and see how good you do. It'd be gone like that. Imagine it, the eye thinking, but this is what we do. Well, I'm the eye. I can see everything. I can see exactly what's in front of me. And I tell, as you're getting hit from behind by a car, because the ears didn't warn you. It's so, God has made us to be a body. And I got this, actually, it's because of Joe. He loves this little cat thing. I remember him, sure. But in the body of Christ, here's what we've got, okay? And I'm going to ask a couple people to read. But, you know, in the body of Christ, we have unity, okay? We've got diversity, we've got mutuality. In other words, we've got unity. I need a few Bible readers who don't mind reading, okay? I need you to read Psalm 133. Should be nice and easy. I need somebody else. And I'll use you two because you're right next to each other, and I'll save Carl from running with my 1 Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 10. And then you, sounded kind of wrong, John chapter 17, 20 and 23. God wants us to have unity in the body, but we need one another. There's not supposed to be a Lone Ranger Christian. I know I would want to be one. If I can just be honest, I would like to be off by myself, just me and Jesus and a muffin, maybe Diet Dr. Pepper, and my Bible. But that's not how he's made us. He's made us purposely to be together. George, before we read those verses, looking up the verses.
Yeah, we become what they call a gestalt. We are greater than the sum of our parts. Each one of our individual people in the congregation or in the Christian community, each have their own little unique abilities, but when we come together, we become a much greater body.
Yes.
Good. If you were by yourself, you would never really... yes, you're learning in him, but you're not growing because you're not using what he's given you to grow. You're not... Iron sharpens iron. You know, the diversity and the things that are... when you come against an obstacle or somebody that irritates you, you've got to seek him and grow. And you can't do that. If nobody's bothering you, then...
Absolutely. Well, you know what? That is... You have to work some of these things out. But honestly, also, I see gifts distributed amongst you guys. You all have different gifts. And I can say, from at least 70% of you, I have learned from you. That's a huge number. Well, you're the pastor. What are you talking... What difference does that make? I'm a person, just like you, wanting to love the Lord. I learn from you. Some of you, by your example in your area, it causes me to step up. Man, this person's calling this person. This person's praying with this one's doing this. This one's, wow. That helps my faith to grow. It helps your faith to grow. It's much easier to sit at home and be alone, but that's not how he's made us. Okay, now who has the first one? Okay, he wants unity from us, okay?
Pleasant it is when brothers live together in unity.
Oh, sorry, 1 through 3.
Okay. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down upon the collar of his robes. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessing, even like everyone.
That's where he bestows his blessing, when we're unified. Now, I guess there's going to be some people that are knuckleheads, that you can't get, you know what I mean? Or if they're doing the wrong, they're teaching the wrong, you know what I mean? I understand that. But in general, we are to be unifiers, bringing people together in the body, not causing division, right? Mm-hmm. Everybody's not going to do it the exact same way you do, even if you have the same gift. They're not going to teach the same. They're not going to serve. Well, I'm not going to go to that Bible study because they don't just go anyway. All right, what does the next one say? 1 Corinthians 1:10. What does that say?
I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought.
Oh my God. What are we failing? Are we not failing?
Be a click breaker.
Isn't that? Be a what?
Click breaker.
Yes.
I hate clicks.
Me too.
How many of y'all cry about it? No.
Everybody sticks in their own little groups.
Yeah, and you know, in some of that, I understand. You're going to have friends with them. But you know what? Love everybody. Why don't you come in purposefully that you're going to go and talk with people you don't know? Oh, I didn't know. I didn't think about that. I just meant I don't like other clicks. I didn't want to do anything about it. You know what? Go and talk to other people. Okay, how about John? This is Jesus' prayer. Think about this. So if you're a born-again Christian, this is what his prayer is for you. Think about it. Okay, go ahead.
Once, having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied.
Is that John 17? That doesn't seem right.
Sorry.
That's not what I remember. It's okay. It's in the Bible, though, so that's good. John 17. 2023.
Okay. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I have given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them, and you and me. May they be brought to complete unity to let the world know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me.
We've got a long way to go. But let's start with us. And then there's diversity. I mean, God loves variety. Each of us is a unique cat, okay? We've got different functions with Christ at the head. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 to 14. Do you want to read that one? Okay, thanks, Elijah. Do you mind reading 1 Corinthians 12? 12 to 14, nice and loud, if you would, please.
The body is a unit, though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are made, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Now that the body is not made up of one part, but of many.
That's right. So there's diversity. We're not all going to be the same. But then there's mutuality. God made us to need one another. When one person hurts, we're supposed to all hurt. We grieve, we all grieve. I love that Amy's praying for everybody. You're asking, does anybody else have anything? When Satan or sin or disease attacks, the body should react. If the enemy is coming against one person, everybody else should come around him. But here's the other thing. How are people going to know if you're hurting if you don't share it? If you're not in the body? If you're not in a group? Nobody's going to know. You're hurting all alone. You have to be a part. Okay? 1 Corinthians 12. That's a lot of verses. I don't know if we should go through it all. 14 to 26. That's a lot. Okay, Auntie Gloria, did you read that?
Yes. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. The foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand. That doesn't make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I'm not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less a part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if your whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it had only one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can never say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together in such that extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other. You want me to go to 26?
Yes, that's good. That's okay. You know, it says, you know, 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And we don't want to be thinking, God's made us to be together. You know, there's a story of a Sunday school teacher who was very prideful. And she was talking about how all these bad Christians don't share their gifts and do this and that. And she was strutting around and she was teaching a Sunday school. It was the boys. She was teaching the boys. And so she kind of, with her head held high and her chest pumped out, she walked around and said, now, students, boys. She's like, now, why do you all think? Why do you think? Well, how do you say? How does she say it? Hold on a second. Let me remember. Why do people think that I am a Christian? And it got all, the room got all quiet. And then one of the boys slowly raised his hand and said, because they don't know you? We've got to be careful that we're not prideful with our gifts and abilities, looking down upon others. The last part has to do with the gifts here in verses 6 to 8. If somebody wouldn't mind reading that, where I don't know where the mic is, so just hold up the mic and whoever's around that person, if you would read Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. So we have to have right thinking about the gifts that God's given us. If you'd read that. Thanks.
Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If serving, if service, in his serving. Or he who teaches, in his teaching. Or he who exhorts, in his exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. Mm-hmm. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness.
Okay, well, you know, when it talks about, go to 1 Corinthians 12 real quick, because a lot of people have lots of questions about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and there's lots of gifts. We're not going to cover them all because we just don't have time. There's equipping gifts. You can read about them for yourself in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 16. There's sign gifts. You can read about them in Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. And there's ministry gifts that we're going to cover here real quickly. But here are some basic questions that people ask a lot of. So I want you guys to read it for yourself. Here's one of the main questions. Does everybody have the same gift of the Holy Spirit? No. So I want you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 4 to 6. Somebody read that out loud. We're going to answer that question. Anybody?
There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. And the diversities of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all.
Isn't that kind of clear, guys? Does that make sense to everybody? I mean, there are different kind of gifts with the same Lord. There's even different kind of workings of the same gift. You know, one person might be serving, and you know what? They're out there, and we have somebody who's out there just not painting, but staining the wood out there on for the work. Just staining all the wood. They're serving in that way. Somebody else is bringing food out to somebody. I can't bake. I can't do this. We could do this. Well, somebody can help with cars. I don't know anything about cars. Joel said, hey, if anybody needs any help with any cars, diagnosing your cars, I'd be happy to help them. Okay. Well, praise the Lord. So if you need help, you don't know what's the matter with your car, Joel is willing to help. We've got different gifts to be used in the body. Now, don't use and abuse him for that or anyone else. Does anyone not have at least one gift? If you're born again, God gives you gifts from the Holy Spirit. He'll give it to you. Does anyone not have at least one gift? What does verse 7 say? Someone read that. You can read it, Ernie, if you want. If you're there in 1 Corinthians chapter
1. Now to each one,
the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines.
That's right. So you have at least one gift, but I would ask God to give you more so that you could serve him. And for whose benefit? He says that he's giving it to build up the body in verse 7. And who decides which gifts we receive? Is it anything we can boast about if you have one of those great gifts? No. Verse 11. Somebody read verse 11. That's right in that area around Carl. Somebody who's not scared to read. Or we just sit here. It's up to you guys.
All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines.
That's right. And there's different gifts that he has that he's listed here back in Romans, you guys, and his last verses, and we'll close out with just these. Because I want folks just to understand what it is. They're all given as a gift by grace. We've got different gifts. If a man's gift is prophesying, what prophecy is basically it's the supernatural ability to speak forth the words of God, or the mind and the heart of God to people. Okay? It's to receive a message from God to his people. It's more than just preaching and teaching. Some people think it's just preaching and teaching. It is that as you're speaking forth the word, but sometimes God will give you a specific word. Sometimes it's predictive. Sometimes it's warning in nature. But mostly it's comforting and encouraging. And I don't have time, unfortunately, to go through all these scripture verses. But if you want to look at some of these things, you can look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. And there's a whole bunch of Acts 11, 27 to 29. Acts 19, 6 to 7. Acts 21, 8 to 9. But basically, sometimes I'll be praying over somebody, and God will give a prophetic word. He'll come up with a scripture that's just for them. You know, we were here a couple of nights ago, some Thursdays ago, and somebody was talking about sharing their heart, and a word came out under the wide umbrella. And that person said, you know, hey, I think this is from the Lord. Go check it out. I have no idea what it means. And sure enough, somebody had also recommended that book to her just right prior to that. And now God's using that to start a ministry for sexually abused girls. And so, you know, the prophecy sometimes is predicted. There were prophets in the New Testament. You see Agabus and things like that. You can read those for yourself. But it's generally encouraging. 1 Corinthians 14:3 says, Paul says that everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouraging, or comfort. The gift of prophecy should be desired by all believers. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says we should eagerly desire the spiritual gifts. So all those gifts, ask God, will you give me that I can serve you better? Especially the gift of prophecy. Prophecy builds up the church. 1 Corinthians 14:4, but the one who prophesies builds up the church. But prophecies should be taken seriously, but also always weighed and tested. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Because a lot of people, thus saith the Lord here, thus saith the Lord there. And that gets a little scary, because a lot of times I've found out over the years people don't always know what they're talking about. But don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. You know, and here's the thing too. Having gifts of the Holy Spirit does not make you a mature Christian. I've seen lots of people who have some phenomenal gifts of the Holy Spirit, and they are like little babies in a lot of ways. So just because somebody has a gift, that's all it is a gift. They have to grow up. They have to learn how to use it. So don't write everything off. Well, this person prophesied like that. Well, they're growing. Just be careful. Just test it. Wait. Next, it talks about, it says, if it's serving, let him serve. You know, Jesus is the servant of all. he said he washed everybody's feet. He said, if Jesus said, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do just as I have done for you. That word is diakono, serve. Listen to this, 1 Timothy 3:13. Those who have served, that's the same word, gain an excellent standing and great assurance in their faith in Jesus Christ. If God has gifted you to serve, then serve. If he's given you prophecy, speak it out. You know, some of you guys are amazing servants. Connie's not here today, so I'll talk about her. Connie has been so faithful in the children's ministry. Now, you know what a servant isn't thinking? Oh, nobody's thanking me today for all I've done. No, she's just there serving the children's ministry for years. Happy to do it because she's serving the Lord. You know, one of my examples is here in this room of a servant. Man, they are serving in so many places it blows my mind. I look up to them as a servant. I really do. Actually, multiple people in here. And I'm like, wow, I got to come up. I got to raise the bar a little bit. They're not. A servant doesn't come into a room. Sometimes they'll say, what can I do? But a lot of times they're already doing it. They're blessing people. I'm taking a meal here. Oh, I'm going over to this person's house. Oh, I'm ministering here. Oh, I'm doing this. Wow. Lord, thank you. You know, if you have that gift, the gift of teaching, Nehemiah 8:8 kind of encapsulates it for me. And it says this. They read from the book of the law of God. Clearly explain the meaning of what was being read, helping the people to understand the message. That's what a teacher does. That's what Gary's going to do. Or that's what, you know, on Sunday, or that's what I'll do this Sunday, or whoever in your Bible study. That's what they do. They read from God's Word, they explain the meaning of what's being read, and they help everybody to understand. If you have the gift of exhortation or encouragement, then you know what? That should be what you do here. Says, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart. Oh, how we need more encouragers are in the body of Christ. You know what we have a lot of?
Discouragers.
That's the pride. Always criticizing. I should be like this. I don't like how you do that. Paul said this, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart, united in love, so that they may have the full riches and complete understanding in order that they may know the mystery of God. Namely Christ. That's Colossians 2:2. If it's giving, now we're not talking about tithing, we're talking about, you know, whatever you put in the offering box, in the bird box back there. We're talking about going above and beyond, whether it's your time or your services or finances. Folks, we have a playground that's being built over here. That was just by somebody with the gift of giving. And Luke 3:11, it's the same word, says, he answered that anyone who has two shirts should give to the one who has none. And anyone who has food should do the same. Their heart is just to give. And they do it as unto the Lord. Not for thanks or not so that everybody sees how great God. I was at a church one time, and every time this person gave a donation, a big donation, they would come and tell me about it. I don't want to know what you give. You give unto the Lord. Yeah, just put a big check back there in the tithe box. Just thought you should know, Pastor. Thank you. That's great. Good. Do it for the Lord. You know what I'm saying? Just do it for Him. Give and trust that He's going to use it. And do it with the right heart. Whatever you do, 2 Corinthians 9:7, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion. For God loves a cheerful giver. You know what? Honestly, we love you. We're so thankful for you. But if you're going to serve and you're going to be like all bitter about it, don't do it. God will raise up someone else to serve. If you're going to give and be all bitter about it, don't do it. You know what I'm saying? God will raise someone else and bless them for it. And then if it's leadership, you know, work hard. Listen. It says this in 1 Thessalonians 12:13. Dear brothers and sisters, those who are your leaders in the Lord work. They work hard among you and give spiritual guidance. So if you're a leader here, or you're a leader in your Bible study, you need to be working hard. You're not be lazy. Don't come to children's ministry teaching the kids and wing it. You know what I'm saying? Unless that's what guys that just show up, you know, like a crusade thing. If they tell you to do that, do it. But work hard at it. Don't be lazy. You know, don't get me started. And then, so finally we'll end with Ephesians. Everybody go to Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. So God wants us rightly thinking about ourselves, not more highly than we ought to, but with humility. Not thinking less of ourselves, but thinking about ourselves less. God wants us to think rightly about our believers, you know, about fellow believers, not thinking we're better than them. We're all part of a body. We all need one another. We need to develop those gifts for one another. And we need to be rightly thinking about our gifts. They might have different workings. So who are you to judge someone else's gifts in the Lord? Ephesians 4, 11 to 16. And I don't know if somebody has their Bibles open, but I think I'm gonna read this. Actually, thanks, but I think I'm actually going to read this one myself, if you don't mind. So give me just 1 second to get there. Okay. He says, it was he, that's the Lord, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. Think about this, guys. Have you ever seen an evangelist? We all should be, you've got the gift, we should all be sharing Christ, but an evangelist could go, why aren't we all sharing Christ like me? Right? Very easy to do. Don't do that. It says this, and here's the reason why he's given you these gifts, why he's put you in a body. There's a purpose. It's not by accident. You can't float from church to church to church. He doesn't want that. He wants you plugged in so that you can grow. Your gifts can be built up. My gifts can be built up. There's a purpose to it. Listen to this. It says in verse 12 of Ephesians, they're given to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we reach the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure and fullness of Christ. Then we'll no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching and the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. And then verse 16 says this, from him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So that's the deal, folks. God wants each of us working together. That's how we're going to grow. And so let me just say this. Let me just close with this. I need you. I need you to step up in your gifts. You need me to step up in my gifts. I love watching you serve. You've got the gift of serving. And when I watch you, like that. Rebecca, I watch you do the same thing, reaching out to people. I watch different gifts, and that spurs me on. And I want you to do the same so that you spur one another on to love and good deeds in the Lord. We need one another. Does that make sense, guys? Okay. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to say thank you, Lord, for your word, Lord, and I know that it won't return void. Lord, I ask that you would help us to think rightly, Lord, to not go off our own thoughts or even the thoughts of the world, but to think rightly about these things, to think rightly about ourselves, to think rightly about others, Lord, think rightly about our gifts, Lord, that we'd all be done in humility. Lord, help us to say at the end of the day, who are we other than servants of the Lord? We do it all for you. Would you please bless your people today, Lord? And I don't even know how you do that, but I thank you for each person who spoke here today, who contributed, Lord, who taught when they grabbed the mic, Lord, or when they shared, Lord. Lord, I thank you for just Heidi's word, Lord, and how you use that in each person, Lord, as they're speaking and using their gifts. Thank you for all the amazing servants we have here, Lord, just on the computers and the webs and this and that. There's so many, the cleaning in the back, and there's so many, Lord. But I pray that you'd help us to develop even more gifts, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit. So I pray right now, Lord, that you would stir our hearts to desire any gift that your Holy Spirit has for us. That we would ask you, Lord, to fill us with your Holy Spirit and to give us whatever gift you want us to serve the body. That we would better represent you. We We love you, and I pray that blessing on each and every person here. And I ask that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week.